I get into my talk, I just want to say a couple of little things. You know, obviously it's the beginning of the year. I'm sure you've all come with bated breath as to what is the message that Vicky's going to give for 2017.
Always.
And, you know, in our kinds of churches, that's quite a usual kind of thing. And, you know, in the words of the wonderful Pete Gregg, what's the vision, what's the big idea? The vision is Jesus. Yes, Chloe, you should know, we're off on 24/7. And we laugh about it, but I just want to say at the beginning of the year, that is our vision. Yeah. That's where our eyes want to be, is focused on Jesus, who he is. You know, we've got the gospel to see how he lived, and that shapes what we're going to go for this year and all the time. And so I just want to encourage us, wherever we are, to be putting Jesus at the centre of our vision, yeah? And letting him be the one who is guiding us and centering us, bringing us back to what it's all about. And just, you know, I just want to remind us of what's the vision of the journey, the big vision. Does anyone know what the vision statement is? Yes, almost. Engaging with God, sharing his goodness. Yes. So engaging with God, sharing his goodness. We want to be people that are proactively going after engaging with God. And we share that with each other here, when we're at work or at uni, with our friends and family. And, you know, we've got these three rules of community. They're the kind of way of being that can underpin our values. And does anyone know what they are? The first one is, be a disciple of Jesus. Number three, that's it. So the second is, build loving and authentic community and find out what God is doing and join in. Today, you know, we've got half hour, and in this time, you know, I just want a time for us to reflect afresh on who God is and respond to that and just receive afresh from him. And, you know, I don't know if any of you here, I'm sure that you do, as I do. You know, sometimes we can struggle with feelings and mindsets which are damaging to us, and they rob us of our joy and peace. Do you ever experience that? You know, maybe it's feelings of insecurity. Anyone ever feel insecure? I do. Feelings like no one likes us as much as X. Yeah? Worrying we're going to lose all the good things in our lives. You know, feeling stuck, like we can't move forward from events, painful events that have happened in our lives. Maybe it's anxiety, depression, addictions we can't overcome, people we can't forgive, a lack of purpose, loneliness, fear that we don't have enough, fear we're going to get sick or something bad is going to happen. Anyone experience any of these? If you say no, I don't believe you. Sorry. You know, these kind of emotions and thought processes are common experiences as human beings. But, you know, I want us to think about what does it mean to have the presence of God with us in amongst all this rubbish and brokenness that we and our families and friends experience. You know, what does that mean to have the presence of God with us among all this rubbish and brokenness? And who was at the junction in 2 years ago in 2015 when we had Kerry Davis come to speak? Anyone there? Yeah. And those of you who were able to get there a bit earlier might have been at the Friday evening devotion. Was anyone there? Where she encouraged us to spend some time with God, asking him what was like a Bible verse and a word that he was giving us for the year ahead as a helpful thing for us. Did anyone do that? Did anyone remember what it was? Yes, Emily, what was yours?
Be still and know that I am God.
Good verse. Yeah. And for me, at that time, I was feeling like really burnt out. And the verse, the word that God gave me was like restore. And the verse was from Psalm 23, verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. And that was like really helpful for me throughout that year, just to come back to that promise from God and allow the Holy Spirit to like do a work in me, which, you know, that whole year was quite difficult for me personally, but I could see that God was doing stuff in me. And then when I came into 2016, I didn't have a word as such, but a Bible verse that God gave me for that year was Psalm 18 verse 19. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And that, again, that was a verse that was like really helpful for just, you know, reminding me what God was promising me and what God was doing, because it's easy to get bogged down in all the things of life. And they were, those verses were an anchor to me. And in December, I was like praying, you know, God, what kind of, what are you saying to me for 2017? You know, some of us in the room might think, oh, you know, it just doesn't even matter. And it's true, not that it doesn't matter what God is saying to us. What I mean is about the whole new year thing. You know, in a sense, it's just another thing of time, but it can just be helpful for us. And the word that I got was love, and the verse 1 John 4 verse 16. And if you want to get your Bibles or your apps on your phones, just go to 1 John 4, so towards the end of the Bible, 1 John 4 verse 16. And let's keep that verse open. So it says, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So you can just keep looking at that verse. I'm just going to pass some sheets around. Has everyone got a sheet?
Yeah.
Great. So I'm going to talk for a little bit, and as I talk, you might want to write in to think about in your own life, as the Holy Spirit speaking to you, which I trust that he will be, of things, what does it look like in your life right now when you're living in love? And what does it look like in your life right now when you're not living in love? And just as things come to you, write it down. It doesn't have to be something that you share, so you can be honest as you like and keep it private. Or you can share it, it's up to you. So, so So, as I was saying to you, the reason I was telling that whole story about the whole junction thing and the Bible verse of the year and all that kind of stuff is because that was obviously something that God's doing in me, that I really feel, really, God really speaks to me and challenged me that this year He wants to teach me what it looks like, but teach me to actually learn more to live in love and how that affects so much of my inner self as well as my external actions coming out of that. So I'm kind of like, I'm doing a talk on this today so we can all be encouraged in it, but I kind of feel that, you know, I've got so much to learn in this and I'm going to be learning a lot over this next year. But you know, some of the things that I was talking about at the beginning of the talk about some of those human things that we experience, feelings and mindsets, what if the antidote to all of those is love? And you know, I think it really is. So what I want us to do is we're going to spend a bit of time, we're going to look at this verse in detail, and we're going to talk about a few things, we're going to share a bit, and then we're going to have time just to reflect and things. So let's look at this verse. So it says at first, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. And, you know, obviously this verse was originally written in Greek, and the word know in the Greek means to be aware of, feel, have knowledge, perceive, understand, can speak of, be sure of. So it's possible for us, as followers of Jesus, to be aware of, to feel, to have knowledge of, perceive, understand, speak of, be sure of God's love for us. It is possible, and I'm sure that all of us have experienced different parts of that and want to experience more of that. But it's not just about knowing, it's also about believing. And again, looking at the Greek, believe means to have faith in, entrust, believe, commit to, put trust in. So there's something about experiencing the love of God and then believing in it, put our faith in it, trusting in it. And, you know, an example of this, obviously Catherine and Aaron aren't here today, but we know we have another Journey wedding coming up, woo, in June. And just using them as an example in their absence, I would have used them as an example if they were here as well. But obviously, Catherine and Aaron had a time of getting to know each other, experiencing their love for each other, and at some point they make the decision to trust in that love, to commit to that love, to believe in that love enough that they wanted to get engaged, to get married. Does that make sense? So there's something about us experiencing the love of God, and that's wonderful, but then there's that other step of believing in it, trusting in it, making it our whole world above everything else. You know, it says there, we hear it, we say it so much, God is love. That's who God is at His core, He's love. And what does that mean? And if you want to go with me in your Bibles, go to the famous passage about love, 1 Corinthians 13, and let's just reflect on that for a few moments, because it's really challenging. It's challenging to us, like John was talking about at the beginning of the meeting, of what it actually means to actually love. So 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 8. I'm just going to go through the list where it talks about love is patient. That's challenging, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's how God is towards us. So, you know, we think about how we are to others, but that's how God is towards us. Patient, kind, not jealous. You know, I was just thinking about it in my own life. I think, you know, the reason, if you're like living in love, so experiencing the love of God, you don't need to be jealous because you're secure in that love. Does that make sense? So, you know, we can feel like, oh, it's not fair. That person's got that, or that's happened for them, and it hasn't happened for me, and they haven't had that bad thing happen to them, and da 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 da. All these things that we think. But when we're secure in the love of God, we know that we're amazing. God is with us. I know sometimes we go through really difficult times, and they're not fair. But even in that, God is with us. And so we can feel secure in that. It doesn't brag. I think probably the main reason that we might boast or brag about things is to make sure that everybody knows how great we are. Yeah? Because we feel insecure that they don't know. But if we know it already, then we're not worried about whether or not other people know it. Does that make sense? Isn't arrogant, doesn't act unbecomingly, or you could say is not rude. Again, you know, we can act in a rude way to put people in their place, to make us feel better than them. Does not seek its own. It's not all about us. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. I mean, that, for me, when I was reading that this week, I was just thinking, wow. You know, like John mentioned, you know, sometimes when people do stuff to us to hurt us, they may not even intend to hurt us. Or like, you know, when we're sometimes here, we're letting our lives do great stuff in the hub, and then some of the kids are messing up the building. And you can just feel like, you know, and you want that person to, you don't want to offer them love anymore because they don't deserve it. You want to make them pay somehow for what they've done. But that isn't the way of love. Love doesn't take that into account. I'm not saying that we shouldn't go and sort things out when things are wrong and speak to people about it. But despite how we have to keep on loving, well, we don't have to, we can choose to, that's the way that Jesus calls us to, which is an amazing thing and is very difficult. That's why we need to experience that love of God in our own lives, so we're able to offer that to others. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness or injustice, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things. The Amplified Bible talks about regardless of what comes. You know, love really does conquer all. Believes all things. Again, the Amplified, it talks about looking for the best in each one. Hopes all things. The Amplified, remaining steadfast in difficult times. Endures all things. Love, and therefore God, never fails. You know, love never fades or ends. Wow, it's amazing, isn't it? And, you know, when we read about Jesus in the Gospels, we see endless examples of Jesus walking in this love. You know, whether it's like feeding people, healing people, hanging out with people that are supposed to be the sinners or the outcasts. You know, forgiving his friends when they betrayed him, which is very painful. Ultimately dying for us. You know, let's just soak ourselves in the Gospels so you see what it actually looks like, what love looks like. So, let's go back to our 1 John 4, verse 16. You want to go with me in your Bibles? So, we've come to know and have believed the love God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So the word abides also means lives or stay in a given place or state, a relation or expectancy, continue, dwell, endure, be present, stand in love. So what I want us to do is just to think about, if we're living in that place of love, then we're living in God. And what does it look like when we're living in that place and when we're not? And what I want us to do is, ultimately, we can only take responsibility for our individual selves. But also, we need to see it more than just the individual thing. We need to see it as a community. So when I'm walking in love, I'm causing you to experience what it means to live in love, when I'm living in love. And that is changing your experience of it. And when you're living in love, your living in love is affecting me. And I'm experiencing living in love because I'm being around you, and vice versa. And when I'm not living in love, that's affecting you in a negative way. And vice versa. Does that make sense? So we need to see it as, you know, we only can take responsibility for ourselves, but we're in it together. So let's have a little bit of introduction. What anyone want to shout out? What it looks like when they are living in love, or generally we are. That I've been thinking about for my own self is that, you know, if someone's unkind to me or hurts me, I kind of, you know, sometimes we just react straight away, but it's almost like you have a choice in the moment. I'm going to act out of a place of living in love or not living in love. If I'm acting out of a place of living in love, then I will process that in a forgiving, healthy way. I might feel negative emotions, but I'll process that in a good way, and I'll still respond to them in love. If I'm not living in love, then I will want to be and make them pay and hurt them. Does that make sense? So, any more that people want to offer? So I find in my own life, when I'm not living in love, my insecurities come up to the fore. You know, I think, oh, people don't want to spend time with me, I'm not good enough, da 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 da. You know, any others?
Comparison.
Pardon? Comparison. So we can keep on thinking about those. I'm going to come towards the end. So how do we live in love? And I don't have any magic answers, but I just want to suggest three simple things for us to think about more and to work with. The first one, you know, I tried to have the same letter, but it's almost there, but not quite. The first is commune with God. Now, the word commune sounds very, I don't know, holy, but it's not, well it is, but it's simple. You know, do what you need to do to connect with God. Read your Bible. You know, Michelle shared about, she's got a colouring Bible, and that's bringing fresh life to her. Oh, there she is. Colouring those Bible verses, she's thinking about them and she's colouring them. You know, meditation, mindfulness, whether it's putting worship music, prayer, nature, art, declarations, whatever it is, let's just not be passive, but let's be proactive in finding ways to connect with God. And different things work for different people, and you need to find out what works for you and go with it. And there's different things in different seasons, but I encourage you to do that. And if you're finding it really hard, ask someone to help you, maybe do certain things together. I can't tell you all the answers, but I just encourage you to really go for it. The second thing is commune with each other. Community. You know, all of us have been changed and shaped by being part of this community where we love each other. And we're there for each other in the difficult times. We can celebrate the good times. And, you know, following Jesus is not a solitary life. It is part of community. And so I want to encourage us to, again, go after loving each other in community and loving this community. And that's difficult, but as we love each other, we experience love for each other, that brings healing to us. You know, when someone shows me kindness, that brings healing to me. And sometimes we don't even realize the simple things that we do and what great significance that brings to someone's life. So these are such simple ideas. And the third thing I want to say is, in it all, it's the Holy Spirit working through these things. So we put ourselves in a position to engage with God, to do community, but it's the Holy Spirit working through us and in us that there's this flow of love. And it's the Holy Spirit that changes things for us. We want to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do now is, Michelle is going to put on Here Is a Love Vast as the Ocean, which is a wonderful hymn that God really used during the Welsh Revival. And we're going to have a bit of time now where, just wherever you're at, you know, maybe some of us are in a really difficult place, we really need healing, we're feeling really rubbish about ourselves, feeling rubbish about life. Maybe some of us are in a great place, and maybe there's really difficult circumstances going on for us. Maybe we feel lonely, hopeless, maybe feel full of hope. You know, it could be all kinds of things that we in this room are experiencing. But I just want us to take some time just to let the Holy Spirit minister into our hearts again with his love, and us to think about how are we proactively going to this year and beyond choose to live in love and live in God. And we're going to do that for a few minutes, and then after we've done that, what I want you to do on the back of your pieces of paper is just take a few moments to ask God, and you might not get it all today, it might be you want to go off by yourself during the week, or you already might know, what is the word for you for this year, and a Bible verse. And I don't know if we're going to have time, because we're running a bit behind time, but even if we don't do today, it would be quite nice to share things if people would like to, because it's always encouraging to hear what God is doing with other people. So, Michelle, do you want to just put the music on? If you want to move out of your seat, if you want to sit somewhere or get some space, if you'd like prayer, Rachel. Rachel's on fire for God at the moment, and she wants to spread it around. She keeps on telling me. So, Rachel, can you like stand somewhere, maybe over there? And during this time, if you want someone to pray for you, Rachel, and you can ask other people to pray for you as well, but Rachel is a woman, as are other people. But so let's have the music on, Michelle, if you want to turn it up loud. You might get a word for someone, please feel free to go and share it with them. But as we do this, I just want to pray this prayer from Ephesians, which you know that I love. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So just as we're just receiving from God, just want to encourage you just to maybe start to write down any what maybe a word that God's giving you for the year, or a Bible verse. If you need prayer, please do come and get prayer. You know, I just feel for some of us, there's things we're struggling with, maybe it's depression or anxiety or some pain, things that we really want to see victory in that John was talking about earlier, and we just really want to pray into those things, because we do believe that the Holy Spirit does work to bring about change. So Sarah is just going to come and play for us, and let's just keep for the next 5 or 10 minutes. I know some people getting ready for the lunch, but let's just keep this into a ministry time. If you want to pray for people, you want someone to pray with you, let's just be doing that. If you want some time just to be thinking about the year ahead and the Bible verse and word that God is giving you.